Welcome to The Promise. Thanks for joining us online today. If you'd like to know more about the church or supporting this ministry financially, please go to our website, thepromisesd.com. Now, please enjoy the message.
All right, good. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a subject that I want to talk to you about. You know, all Americans really know the core historical story of the Thanksgiving that is celebrated once a year, and whatever version of the truth that you've accepted and you like to adhere to, that's fine. But the essence of Thanksgiving, as we know, really most of us know, is that the Pilgrims and the Puritans left in the 1620s, 1630s from England, and they came to the New World, and they brought this beautiful celebration, the day when they gave thanks to God for everything that God had done in their lives, and especially at harvest time. But you know, really, it shouldn't be a single day a year. If you're a born-again believer, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be giving thanks to God for His goodness, just like they did. And we wouldn't be celebrating Turkey Day. It's Thanksgiving Day. Amen? Giving thanks to God. You know, in the Old Testament, people were instructed to come into the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving, with a grateful heart, because of appreciation for what God had done. And in Psalm 95, verse 2, it says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." Now, yes, that is Old Testament instruction. In the New Testament, we have God living in us. And so His presence is with us constantly. However, when we do come into a prayer meeting, corporate situation, or even when you come privately into a prayer situation, or you come to worship God corporately or privately, you are actually coming into another level of God's presence. We have God in us, but God can also come upon you, and God can also be present in a corporate setting. And so I believe that we ought to come the same way as they were instructed in the Old Testament, even though we have a greater presence of God than they ever had with them. I believe, according to Scripture, that serving God with joyfulness, with gratitude, and with thanksgiving is actually very important to Him. Very important to Him. Look what He says in Psalm 100 and verse 1. "Make a joyful shout," some Bibles say noise, "to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." That is a great scripture. I mean, that's huge instruction, and you know, we could follow that. If you think about this, gratitude and thankfulness is based on appreciation of what you've received. But appreciation is based on the value that you ascribe to what you've received. And the value is in the eye of the beholder. Different people have different values. You've heard my story many times. I've never shown you a picture of it, but you know that while working on the cruise ships, one of the artists that we sold was a girl by the name of Nikita, and her pieces ran about $175,000 a piece. And I told you the story that I was able to purchase one of these for $20,000, sell it for $150,000. So I thought I'd show you what it looks like. This is the actual piece. Go ahead, dim the lights. Thank you. Now, looking at that, you got to go, they paid how much? I think my kid could draw that. Well, believe it or not, she was only 8 years old when she drew it. It was one of her original pieces that she drew. And yes, that piece sold. It was ours, sold for $150,000. As I said, beauty, finish it off for me, is in the eye of the beholder. All right. But then there's the piece done by Da Vinci of the portrait of Jesus. Have a look at this piece. And that's lovely. It's about Jesus. But you know what? It sold last year for $450 million. Again, beauty is an eye of the beholder. Honestly, I wouldn't pay $450 million for that peace. I would rather imagine Jesus, okay, than having that on my wall. Yeah, I could fund the whole gospel around the world for $450 million. But when Jackie and I, in 1975, we began our service as diplomats in London, I got a couple of pictures. Again, I wanted to show you pictures. Yep, that's Jackie and little old Hain. But right behind, this is a very famous place, because right behind there, where we're standing, is 10 Downing Street. And if you don't know what 10 Downing Street is, it is the residence of the Prime Minister. And now I'll show you Trafalgar Square. You all know Trafalgar Square. That building there is actually called the South Africa House. And that is where I worked, right there on Trafalgar Square. Now, while we were in London, we had the opportunity of going to the Tower of London. The Tower of London is where the crown jewels are kept. It's like Fort Knox. This is where they keep the crown jewels. Well, while we were there, we did the tour. We were able to see a diamond called the Koh-i-Noor diamond. Now, what is important about this? Its name means mountain of light. What's important about this diamond is it only weighs 105 carats. It only weighs 105 carats. It is not the biggest diamond in the world. In fact, the Cullinan diamond, which is the third largest diamond, weighs 530 carats. That's almost like four times bigger than that. And the Cullinan diamond, it's worth a mere 400 million, all right? But what is important about the Koh-i-Noor diamond is this, that it is perfect. It is absolutely perfect. And so they have not been able to put a value on it. They cannot estimate its value. It is literally priceless. And this diamond sits right on the forehead of the king's crown, right there. That's where it sits. So it is a very, very important piece. My question to you is, what is priceless to you? Is it a diamond? Is it a piece of art? Or is it perhaps Jesus? Turn and tell your neighbor, it's Jesus. Now remember what I said. Gratitude and thankfulness is based on the appreciation of what you've received. But the appreciation is based on the value that you ascribe to that what you received. So, what value do you place on Jesus? He is Almighty God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Amen. He is the apostle of our confession. He is the arm of the Lord. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author of eternal salvation. He is the beloved Son. He is the blessed and only potentate. He is the branch, the bread of life, the captain of our salvation, the cornerstone, the mighty counselor, the creator, the dayspring, the chief shepherd, the deliverer, the door. He is God with us. He's everlasting Father. He's the faithful witness. He's the first and the last. He's the first begotten. He's the friend of sinners. He's the good shepherd. He's the governor, the great high priest, the head of the church, the healer, the heir of all things, the holy child. He's the Holy One of God, the horn of salvation. He is highly exalted one. He's the I Am. He's the expressed image of God. He is Emmanuel. He is the just one. He's the King of ages. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of kings. He is the Lamb of God. He's the light and life of the world. He's the lily of the valley. He's the lion of the lion, Judah. He is the Lord of all. He's the glory of God. He is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of our righteousness. He's the man of sorrows. He is the manna from heaven. He's the mediator. He is the Messiah, the mighty God, the morning star, the only begotten one, our Passover, our provider, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Redeemer, the resurrection and the life, the Rock of Ages, the Root of David, the Rose of Sharon, the Savior, the Seed of the Woman, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. He is Shiloh, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, the Son of Man, the Son of Righteousness, True Light. He is the Vine. He is the Truth. He is the Way. He is the Word of God. He is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And your name is above every name. Just 80 things. Just 80 about who Jesus is and how we value him. What are you thankful for today? God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, eternal life, heaven. What about family, good friends? What about a great church or a great job or the home that you live in or the car that you drive? Are you thankful for the triumph that we have in God? Because 1 Corinthians tells us, 15, tells us that thanks be to God who has given us victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. Can we give thanks today for what we have inherited in Christ Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm an heir with Christ. I've inherited all things because of Him. See, I am thankful and I'm grateful for what I've inherited. I've inherited the righteousness of God in Christ. I've inherited the mind of Christ. I've inherited the highest place of authority in Christ on His throne. The same love that God the Father had for His Son Jesus, He has for me. The same glory that God the Father gave to His Son Jesus, He's given to me. All things have become mine. I am lawful owner of all things through Christ Jesus. And all authority and victory over the devil has been given to us in Christ. And we have dominion over all the handiwork of God in the earth. But you know what? We can increase our capacity to receive our inheritance from God through thanksgiving. Thanksgiving on what we have already received from God, what we are currently receiving from God, and what we will receive in the future. If we can just give Him thanks and bless Him for past, present, and future blessings and victories, it will increase your capacity to receive. Now, thanksgiving can also be an action of faith. Yes, we can give thanks for things that have already happened, but we can give thanks for things that are still to happen because God has promised us. There's some promises that He's made in His word to us, yet not manifested. So we can thank Him even though they haven't appeared. 1 Thessalonians 8, verse 5 and 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful in all things. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. What it didn't say was be thankful for all things. And there's a huge difference. Because there was a teaching that went out and was very popular, that no matter what happened in your life, that you were to thank God for it because it was God's plan and purpose for your life. So if it was sickness, devastation, wiped out by the fires, death in your family, whatever it was, that you were to give God thanks for that. And that's error. We are told to give God thanks in it, in spite of it. Because nothing changes in eternity, even though things on the earth and in your circumstances will change. Lift yourself out of your circumstances by giving God thanks for who He is. Amen? And for what He is doing in your life anyway. Now, it must be possible. I know it might be difficult, but it's possible because God has told us to do it. And if God told us to do it, then it's possible. And this means that when you are distraught, depressed, overcome, battling with things in the life, whatever's going on, that it is possible in those circumstances to yet praise God and to give Him thanks, not for the circumstance, but in spite of the circumstance. See, praise, thanksgiving, and worship are a result of an overwhelming gratitude that's flowing out of our hearts. It cannot actually be turned off. If you have that gratitude, you will say thank you. Anytime you've ever received something from anybody and there was gratitude in your heart for it, you said thank you. And probably not once, over and over again, you kept on saying thank you. kept on saying, thank you for that one thing that occurred. And you know what? Giving thanks to God should actually be a norm, an everyday thing for believers. Why? Because we have tasted of the Lord and we have seen that He is good. And so we ought to be able to go, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So being thankful is actually at the heart of worship. It's at the heart of worship. When I look across the congregation and I see people participating in worship, I can tell you people who are grateful, people who are thankful, and people who have an overwhelming sense of what God has done for them. I can tell. See it in your face. See it by your attitude. I can see it by the position of your hands. Yep. Yep. You go, what does my positions of my hands got to do with it? It's got a lot to do with it. It's got a lot to do with it. Because it could be surrender. People put a gun on your back. It could be surrender. It could be worship surrender. In that sense that you're surrendering to God. But it could also be an outflowing of absolute, absolute, absolute gratitude and thankfulness. And you're expressing it to God. Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. So it is important to God. God instructs us to do this. And as we receive the Lord Jesus, we overflow with thankfulness. You know, the word thanksgiving in the New Testament Greek is the word Eucharist. I'm sure you recognize the word Eucharist. It means to give freely. To give freely. And it's often rendered as charis or charis, however you want to pronounce it, which is the Greek word for grace. And so it's obvious that thanksgiving is a result of receiving God's grace in our life. When you know if you received God's grace, when you know, hey, I'm a sinner, and if it wasn't for God's grace, there go I. And if you recognize that, there will be this natural, natural flowing of gratitude towards God. And also, we participated today at the communion. The emblems, the communion, the bread and the wine are actually referred to as the Eucharist. If you were raised in a certain church denomination, they would have called it that. So what is the opposite then? What is the opposite of thankfulness? What is the opposite of gratitude? Well, it's obviously being unthankful, being ungrateful. But you know that sadness and depression and unhappiness and feeling sorry for myself and self-pity is the opposite of gratitude and thankfulness. And you know the danger of this, of having that living in your heart, is that it can lead to anger. It leads to anger. When you don't get what you think you deserve, or when you think you've been badly dealt with, you have no reason to be thankful, so you have anger that builds up. Well, that would be a downward spiral into hopelessness. See, opposite of thankfulness begins with unthankfulness or lack of gratitude, and it actually ends up in hopelessness and ends up in fear. And so it's a dangerous place to be. Really, there's no neutral ground. You're either grateful or you're not. You're either thankful or you're not. You're either happy about what God is doing in your life or you're unhappy. And if you're unhappy, you're going to end up in hopelessness and fear and unbelief. One of the interesting things about a lack of gratitude and unthankfulness is that it's going to be one of the signs in the last days. Look at this scripture, 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. So people will no longer be satisfied with what they have. They will be ungrateful, unthankful, void of gratitude, and unappreciative. Wow. Wow. People have this kind of attitude, you know that they can never be happy. There's no possibility someone has this attitude because thankfulness is a prerequisite for happiness. If you're unthankful, ungrateful, you're unhappy. You're unhappy. Only a grateful heart can actually be happy. Isn't it amazing that God wants us to be happy? He wants us to be happy campers. He literally wants us to have a smile on our face. He wants the church to be joyful. Let me ask you, you know, I mean, you don't have to answer out loud, but people just don't like hanging around unhappy people. Mm-hmm. They don't like hanging around with people who complain about everything. Nothing is ever right in their world. Nothing is right. So they're always unhappy, always unthankful. Boy, that's a downer. That's a downer. You never want to go out to dinner with that person. Huh. Close your eyes. I want to ask you some questions. Are you grateful, thankful for what you have? Or has unthankfulness begun to poison your spiritual life? How long has it been since you took time not to pray, but just to thank God for what you do have? If God had to take your words and your worship into account, would God consider you among the thankful and grateful, or among the ungrateful and thankful? You know, when you're grateful and thankful, it changes your attitude and it transforms your environment around you. Pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me for every time I have been ungrateful and unthankful. Starting today, I'm going to be more aware of my attitude, and I'm going to do my best to remain thankful for everything you have done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Look up at me. Beginning today, make this commitment. When anybody asks me how I'm doing, not only am I going to say blessed and grateful, I'm going to say blessed, grateful, and thankful. Amen? Turn and tell somebody, I'm blessed, I'm grateful, and I'm thankful. In Jesus' name.